In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Every first Sunday in Lent starts in the wilderness. The story of Jesus' temptation appears in the three synoptic gospels of Mark, Matthew, and Luke, which gives us one for every year of our lectionary cycle. Though the accounts vary slightly, and Mark doesn't go into as many details, they all suggest that God's Spirit led Jesus there after baptism, that during the 40 days he fasted and was tempted by Satan, but did not give in, and that at the end God sent angels to wait on him. Those 40 days must have been a powerful time of preparation, because it's after this that Jesus' ministry really takes off. Some see this as a time when his calling came into focus, or when he reached full communion with God. When we consider how this story applies to us, though, usually we focus on the temptation aspect. Matthew and Luke give memorable accounts of Satan's seduction and Jesus' sharp rebuttals. Not to mention, temptation hits close to home as something that we all have to deal with. We talk about resisting temptation all the time, and not just in Lent. But what we don't talk about as much is fasting, which is just as much a part of this story. Perhaps it's because Jesus' fast was so long. We hear 40 days with no food and tune out, thinking, that must not apply to me. Or perhaps it's because we can forego fasting in a way that we can't do with temptation. But Jesus' fast was an important part of his desert time. And in Lent, the church is called to a season of prayer and fasting. So it's worth asking, why did Jesus do it? What is the benefit of giving something up for a spiritual purpose? And what does it teach us about the spiritual disciplines? I should preface all this by saying that while Jesus' fast looked a certain way, fasting can be anything we give up for a dedicated amount of time with a spiritual intent. It can be a fast from one meal or several. It can be from a certain type of food, a habit, or something that we enjoy. We can fast something in an area that we need to work on, or the fast can be something that God directs us to. Looking at Jesus' fast to understand our own, we should keep in mind the location. The Spirit takes him out into this vast, wide-open, unpopulated space, which means that his fast was more than just food. It was giving up comfort, noise, tasks, people, entertainment. The very setting exemplifies the emptiness and emptying of the fast. When we, like Jesus, fast from things, it similarly clears out whatever the fasted thing is, thus creating a space. Fasting from things that are cluttering our time and attention frees us up to experience God in other ways, maybe through prayer and quiet, with family, friends, and pets, or in physical activity in the outdoors. Fasting from unhealthy food can open up a space for more nutritious options. Fasting something that costs money makes that resource available for something else. Fasting eating can clear the way for the body to detox and heal itself, since it's not as busy digesting. But whatever we do, we should remember that when we say no to something in fasting, we are making room to say yes to something else. Fasting is also a way of experiencing the kind of self-denial that Jesus practiced and preached. When we say no to ourselves in fasting, it goes against the cultural message that we should have what we want when we want. A message that really works against personal growth and the greater good. And when we get the experience of saying no to ourselves in one thing, building our resolve and self-control, it shows us that we have the power to do it in other areas. Additionally, fasting can be a way of getting in touch with our hunger. Matthew and Luke both mention Jesus' hunger, which we can imagine was intense. But we have to remember it was something that he did willingly. He sought and was led to experience physical hunger as a way to engage spiritual hunger. If you think about it, many of us don't experience physical hunger all that often. We avoid it by eating around the clock, so much so that sometimes our eating isn't even in response to hunger. And there's a correlation to spiritual hunger. Because in the same way, we can fill our lives with stuff to the point that we never really feel how spiritually hungry we are. Like that we feel dry, alone, empty, overwhelmed, anxious, or disconnected. In our spiritual hunger, sometimes we go to things like TV, food, our phones, only to find that they don't provide the comfort or contentment that we're looking for. As spiritual beings, our greatest hunger is spiritual. Getting in touch with this hunger helps us see that we need to be fed by something eternal. And being fed by God is something that Jesus spoke about often. Similarly, fasting is a way that we can learn to be okay with our weakness. In those days in the wilderness, Jesus was no doubt depleted and would have had to turn to God to make it through. In fasting, we put ourselves in a place of vulnerability in order to experience what it means to rely on God's strength. This also goes against the cultural value of never showing weakness. But it's only through allowing ourselves to experience weakness and realize that it's okay that we learn to depend on God's greater power. Finally, fasting can increase gratitude by helping us appreciate what we have more, having gone without it. At the end of the fast for Jesus, it says that the angels came and ministered to him. When our fasts are over, if it's food, usually that first meal tastes incredible. If it's something we give up that we enjoy, our joy is that much greater. Or depending on what it is, we may realize we don't want that thing back in our lives, like if we've given up a bad habit. These are just some of the reasons for fasting, but much of what I've described extends to other spiritual disciplines as well. Fasting, like all of them, is about drawing closer to God. Whether we fast, pray, study, or meditate, it's a way for us to include God in our lives. Or more accurately, because God is always there, it's a way for us to become more aware of God's presence. As we look at Jesus' fasting in the wilderness, what spiritual disciplines have helped you the most? What do you feel called to this Lent? There are so many possibilities, whether it's one of the traditional practices or something that you've never heard anyone else do, but that makes sense for you. And since so many of us are still processing what happened at the high school in Parkland, Florida, this last week, and are looking for a place to take our anger, fear, and sadness, I want to offer that one possible outlet is the spiritual disciplines. The Bible is full of stories of people being called to fast, pray, and lament around an issue toward an action. In fact, most of the biblical calls have such direction and purpose. In Esther, when the king's advisor was building a weapon to take out the Jewish people, Mordecai called the Jews to prayer and fasting. Esther was their spokesperson and advocate, the one who acted on their behalf, but she went in covered with the intercessions and support of her people. As many have noticed this last week, prayer alone is not enough. But when one truly fasts and prays, a change happens in us that is followed by action. To fast and pray around this current issue and take on actions like calling representatives or some of the other actions that are described on the Bishops Against Gun Violence website would be a worthwhile commitment for this Lent. Today, I hope you will consider fasting as one of the many beneficial and powerful forms of worship that are available to us. But even if it's not what you do this Lent, or ever, I encourage you to find a spiritual discipline to commit to between now and Easter. An intentional, seasonal spiritual practice is an excellent way to enter into the Paschal mystery and go deeper with God. Just as the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness, may we also be driven out to the places that we need to go, to whatever spiritual disciplines will both awaken and satiate our hunger. Amen.